Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares insights in how to understand and utilize the universal laws of energy to open one's heart and mind to a higher awareness of life, spirit, and our human potential. I am most pleased to welcome Dr. Susan Allison, transpersonal therapist, nonfiction writer, and poet, author of Conscious Divorce, Ending a Marriage with Integrity, Empowered Healer, and the book we will discuss today, Our Spirit's Dance, Poetry of Soulmates, co-authored with her late husband, Thomas Hickenbottom. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks so much for having me on your show again.
And it's great. You know, Susan, for our listening audience today, it was several years ago that you were right here on Healing From Within, and we shared a most wonderful talk about your book, Empowered Healer, which listeners can still hear by going to the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, and checking the archives. Susan, as listeners of this show are well aware, our guests offer their personal observations, stories of unique experiences and insights into the nature of what it really means to be both a spiritual and physical human being, and how we may navigate this physical world using intuition and the healing energies of Universal Source for the most complete, loving, and most joyful life journey. And isn't that what everybody wants? Love.
Absolutely.
Truth.
Absolutely.
And intimacy. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Susan will share how she fulfilled a promise to her friend and husband to share the poetry they wrote that expressed love in a multidimensional view of eternal soul life and the joy of soul mates. As a transpersonal psychologist, Dr. Susan Allison helps her clients and readers to heal from the loss caused by divorce, as well as to heal physically and emotionally from major illnesses using a holistic approach, helping individuals see themselves clearly as spiritual beings having a physical life. Dr. Allison has a doctorate in transpersonal psychology, is an energy healer, hypnotherapist, ordained minister, and shamanic practitioner. Susan, I always love to ask my guests to think back for a moment to their childhood and share something they remember. And if they were somewhat aware of the interests, values, and work that would later be important to their growth and development. So think back for a minute.
Yeah, good question. Good question. I don't know if I was aware of it then, but looking back, the seeds of who I am now were definitely being sown when I was very young. I had a lot of heat in my hands as a child, and I would put them on our animals and put them on my parents, and wounds would close. My parents, you know, their pain would go away. My mother had, you know, various illnesses. My dad had ulcers, and I could put my hands on them, and they would find relief, and the same with our cats and dogs. So that was one thing that led to becoming an energy healer. And, you know, the other thing is that I spent a lot of time in nature, and I talked to the beings in nature that I felt and saw. I had four angels that came to me when I was a child, and I would climb in my tree and into my tree fort and talk with them, and really actually felt myself flying with them over our house. And I didn't have that memory until I did a regression back to my life between lives and saw those same four angels, and then the memories came after I came out of that trance that I had been able to talk to spirits as a child.
So that beautifully shows how we are born with a life plan and a destiny, and at times a remembrance in our inner soul being that comes out sometimes early, sometimes mm-hmm. later. But healers, yes, they are born. And then
yep.
the circumstances of their life help them to remember or recover and to go
yep.
beyond, to add new healing methodologies to their already mm-hmm. arsenal of universal healing energies. And I was like that as
mm-hmm.
a child, too. Yeah, very
much.
Very
true.
Very much
very
so.
True. I bet you were. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I'm kind of I sort of call myself a late bloomer, though, because I had another path that I walked for quite a while before I embraced really what my soul's purpose is here. And, you know, it was kind of a safe path that I took.
And
because
I did.
This path.
And Susan,
did you do it too?
I did the same. I lived a very, very physical life, very embroiled in societal mores and belief systems until, oh, I guess it was in my early 40s, I had a strange feeling in my heart that there was so much more, and what was I doing?
Yep.
This was not enough. And then once I started to question that, everything opened up, and it has been just a wonderful journey since that time of really knowing the reality of who we are and the truth of what life is all about, and that there is no death either, just a consciousness surviving this time and place. So before that time, I, like you, was on a path that my parents and others thought would be best for me. So we do find our way sooner or later.
We find our way when we're no longer afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, what you realized that it wasn't enough. And I think that when we realize that there's something missing, we can feel that there's just something not quite right. And so for your listeners, I really suggest that they check in however they do it. You know, if they meditate or go into a shamanic trance sometimes, or they go for a walk, or even in the shower or when they're driving, that they really examine how they're feeling about their lives. And
or that they simply open up to the synchronicity and coincidences and opportunities that are presenting themselves, and instead of saying no, say yes. That's how it happened for me. Too many coincidences and too many connections, and I could no longer think life was random. So, yes, we have to pay attention to the opportunities being brought in by that higher source of universal energy and life. Call it what you will. Why have you written your newest book? You've written other books, Our Spirits Dance.
Oh, yeah, let me answer that in a second. I just want to say that what I was getting at is that you have to be ready. And, you know, the call can keep coming, and if you're not ready, you're not going to pick it up. And so I do feel that there is a co-creating with the universe, there is a synchronicity, there is a readiness, and we have to say yes. And so that's what I was getting at. So my book, the current one, and I have another one coming out in the fall, but this book, Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates, is poetry that my husband and I wrote over 19 years together. And some people say, oh, it's so intimate. How come you wrote this? But my husband and I both wanted to put this together. We'd started to put it together when he was ill, and we'd been invited already to do a book signing with it way ahead of time of getting it published. People wanted us to come and on a Valentine event, come read at a bookstore and have chocolate and champagne, and it was a really fantastic idea, and we said yes. But he became too ill, and he passed away in August of 2013, but told me he wanted me to continue the project and to publish it to inspire people to keep their hearts open no matter what, and to truly love deeply and at a soul level with their partner, or be open to meeting someone else and loving again.
Absolutely beautiful. And it is the way forward, to have many experiences, many relationships, many ways to love. Love can be different with every soul you encounter, and that's how it should be, so it deepens the opening of our heart. Please, Susan, share with us how you met your husband, as I believe we come with a life plan, a destiny, to meet the exact people who are important in our spiritual development, even before our soul came into this world. So how did you meet Tom?
We met in a poetry group, which is kind of interesting and, you know, ironic. But we were both poets and excited about our work, and we were in a group with about 10 people. And our poems were so similar the first night we met that he asked me to have tea afterwards. And so we had tea, and we talked about our lives, and we were there for hours. And it was as if I'd known him my whole life. And I do believe we were twin flames rather than soulmates. And there is a difference if we have time to discuss it in a bit.
Yes, please tell us about twin flames.
Because, twin flames, it's much more intense when you're with a twin flame. There's so much passion that you feel. So there's physical passion, lots of, amazing chemistry. But there's also a soul connection where you look at each other, and I just swore, I knew him. We'd had, I think, many past lives together, and we found out later that we had. But even just looking into his eyes, it was as if I was seeing myself, seeing God, seeing the whole universe open up for me in looking in his eyes. And it was such a palpable connection that, it's like my body was pulsing. Whether it was, partly was the Kundalini, but it was like my whole heart, my heart chakra, like everything was opening. And
I think twin flames also sometimes come together because they have work to do and a message to share. And so it could go beyond just being a physical loving relationship as partners in the physical sense to a more committed journey of having equal goals. So you might even have a twin flame situation with someone that you don't marry or that you don't have a sexual connection with. I think that is a possibility.
I wasn't just speaking of a sexual connection. I was speaking of, the Kundalini is all about your creativity, and it's all about an opening that you have. And also your heart, what I mentioned was that my heart just completely opened when I met him. And there was like a cord between us that was a soul cord. And we had a lifetime together in Atlantis, and another lifetime as Druids. And I know in that lifetime in Atlantis that we did not finish our work that we had begun, our spiritual work, and he was killed, and I never finished it, and I never remarried, or never was with anyone again. So I know that we were here to actually model, I think, for people what it is like to be in a soul-connected or our souls being mated relationship. We modeled that for everybody that we saw. We were very deeply in love.
You were the example. And you can talk about things all that you wish, but the example for other people is in generating the truth and honesty of how you live your life. That's beautiful. True. Now, what was it about your love story that you also discovered the important values that you would suggest people looking for an intimate or long-term relationship would foster or develop? What do you think is most important?
I do believe that it's very important to have that soul and passion connection from the beginning. So people who say or write books about, just marry your friend, I don't really, as a therapist, suggest that to people. I feel that, in order to go through everything that we must go through in life, and there's challenges for all of us, that you really need to feel an absolute deep and committed feeling for this person that is physical, emotional, spiritual. It's all of it, and I really recommend that all of it be there. And also in terms of having things in common, we're both writers. He was a novelist and poet. I'm a poet and nonfiction writer. We both absolutely love nature. We're both very Taoist. He was Buddhist. We would spend long trips going out into nature, like going to Fiji and going to the outer islands and diving. And, we had this, he was a professional surfer. We had at one time in his life. So we had this mutual love and respect for the natural world that we were happiest on a beach collecting shells and rocks and fossils and things. And so I feel that it's really important to have this in sync kind of connection where, and actually we could be happy anywhere.
A very important word that you brought out, and I was looking for this, is commitment, and it's probably the most important element in forging trust and continued closeness in a relationship. Now, I just finished reading a book, and I interviewed the author, Francine Val, an amazing healer, and toward the end of the book, she had a very tumultuous marriage, and she gave all of her heart and love, and she always felt separated from the true affection of her husband. She was married 39 years, and she wrote something, and I'd like to bring it in for our listeners to think about this. In a moment of true harmony with him, she told him, "I haven't felt loved or emotionally supported in our marriage, and I have always felt alone." Her husband looked down and then all around, and he told her that she wasn't wrong. He had not been 100% committed to the marriage. So his commitment, he tells her, had been to his own personal comfort, and he just simply wanted to live as long as he could. He was probably afraid of an early death for whatever reason, and he concentrated more on his efforts for his own development. Now, a good relationship, you have to allow the other person to be who they are, but you certainly expect in return, how can I say, a cooperative effort, a compassionate effort. So I want our people to out there listening to know that is not something that you are being selfish about if you feel you really want. It is your soul speaking at a very deep level, and you can have that. Maybe not sometimes with the person you're with, and so that might end. But always being open to your needs and your goals and your desires, it is always possible.
You know, in the preface of my book, you know, because I get asked at all the book signings, you know, how do you meet your soulmate? How do you meet your twin flame? Or if you think you may be with that person, how do you sustain your relationship and keep it going? And so I wrote this in the book that, you know, people frequently ask me how to meet their soulmates. The key, I believe, is to love yourself fully and love what you're doing in your life. Not be looking for someone, but instead be that someone inside yourself. Whatever you want, be that. If you want tenderness or loyalty or fun, then be gentle with yourself. Follow your own intuition and do what brings you joy.
Absolutely. Perfectly. Yep. So beautifully and on the money. Perfectly, perfectly said.
Yep. Thank you.
Can you read a poem from The Night You
Sure.
Met?
Yes. I'd be glad to. I'm going to read one of Tom's poems. I think he's the better poet. I'm a good poet, but he was a great poet. So he wrote this poem called Homecoming. And this was the night we met. We both wrote about four poems. This is one of them. And the book is chronological, so it starts at when the night we met and goes to beyond his death. So here's his Homecoming. On this full moon night, I find your gleaming eyes, and in the moment, the past becomes an illusion. All I knew before washes out with the waning tide. My life becomes whole as we flash through universes, sail distant seas, realize our final homecoming.
I'm quiet for a moment because it's so moving to me, but I have another one that I thought you might read, and I'd like to read it. It's called The Way. I'm not sure who wrote it, Tom or you.
I wrote it.
Okay, but it spoke to me. The Way.
Yes.
Shining down the darkness in the middle of the way, I see the moon within your breath in all you do and say. Hear the words you do not speak. Sense what's left unsaid. Feel the feelings in your heart. Think what's in your head. I don't know where it's going, this friendship begun tonight, but I know with all my being, it's everything that's right. And you and I are both empaths and holistic healers. I do Reiki energy healing. That's one of the modalities you also practice.
Yep.
So this one spoke to a great feeling within, and not from the head, but from the heart again.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, no, it was quite a meeting. It scared me. You know, some people say, well, you know, talk about some of the challenges because, you know, it wasn't it wasn't perfect, and people are never perfect, and situations are never perfect. You know, we have challenges always, but I was terrified of something this intense. When you have a twin flame relationship, it's a little different from the soulmated one, that you often have more challenges from the outside world. You have, you know, you do have a purpose that you're finishing here, and there's often transformation that comes with some challenge. So I ran away 4 times before we got married, ran away emotionally. And so my husband was very patient, and he sort of held this incredible strength and grounding for me to do that and then come back to him. So I've had a lot of phone calls since I've written this book from people whose partner does that, that there's this fear of the intensity, and they, you know, leave and come back and leave and come back emotionally. And if the one partner can be patient, it can really work, because it did beautifully for us for 19 years.
Susan, some people also, women especially, have a fear of being dominated, perhaps, because they have a life destiny and they wish to pursue their own goals and development, and mm-hmm. sometimes they feel they'll be lost in their husband's shadow, and mm-hmm. sometimes I would think that is why we need to assert again our own soul purpose and not be lost, and that could be one of the motives there. But what were the effects of your husband's long illness on your relationship?
Well, he had larynx cancer for 6 years, and at first it didn't really affect us at all. He was an amazing warrior and said, I'm never going to let cancer define me. So for probably 4 to 5 years, we still traveled. We still did everything we always did. It was time-consuming, all of his appointments and everything, but it didn't affect us as much as the last year. The last year, it went to his bones. He was in pain. He hadn't been in pain, really, until it went to his bones. And so that was hard. It was really tough to watch the person you love the most in the world, to watch them suffer. And so it was very, very difficult for me and for him. So, you know, it didn't impact our marriage from the standpoint that we were as in love or more in love, the night before he died than we were in the beginning. And our love just kept deepening over the years. And I was right there by his side. I'm pretty strong as a person. I'm very loyal. And I was holding his hand all night when he died in the morning, August 3rd, 2013. So of course it affects you because it's just so hard. But it did not. That's why I said in the beginning of the show that it's very important to be deeply in love and committed on all levels, because you are going to have experiences and tests and challenges in your life.
That's wonderfully said. And I know you are still connected to Tom since your husband's
Absolutely.
Death. Can you tell us something about how you feel that connection?
Absolutely, and I have a book coming out in the fall with Red Wheel Weiser Hampton Roads, and it's called You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven. And in that book, I help people learn to journey to the spirit worlds, to other dimensions, and actually connect with their lost loved one. So it's, I think, an amazing book. They think it's an amazing book. I'm excited about it, but I actually can use my shamanic journey ability to travel to what I call a level of heaven in the upper world, the shamanic upper world, and I can meet with Tom.
Let me read how you explain that in the book. And
sure.
You wrote this, and my soulmate waits for me. Now that Thomas is a spirit without a body, we are still in contact. And this doesn't surprise me. For months after his death, I felt ecstatic energy pulsating in my body and believed he joined his spirit or energy to mine. Even now, when I read his poetry, listen to certain songs, talk about him, or look at photos, I feel intense energy pulsating from my lower chakras and then rising up and out of the top of my head. Her final poem, Immortal, describes how she can visit Thomas in a level of heaven, what you were just talking about, which is the astral plane,
That's right.
Continue your beautiful union. So love does continue beyond the grave, as you have shown us, and all soul unions, as well as other unions, because whenever you think of a soul, a person you love, a relative, a friend, they are around you. Many people are beginning now to be aware of the energy that shifts and changes within them and around them. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. What do you hope people will take away with them after reading our Spirit's Dance?
Well, I mentioned a bit of that earlier, but you know, my bigger goal is that people no longer fear death, that they know that on a spirit level, on a soul level, whatever you want to call it, that we're all connected, that we're one with everyone at that level, and that they're really, you know, in this last poem I say, there is no death, that we're immortal, and the poem's called Immortal. You know, there is no death. People needn't fear it. You can live fully here, and you're always connected to your mother, your father, your siblings, your best friends, everyone in your life who has passed into spirit. You can listen for messages from them. You can write in a journal and write questions and get answers from them that way. There's lots of ways I suggest in my new book that people can connect with their loved ones after they have passed on.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And you know, in my book, The Living Spirit, where I share stories and healing theories and practices so people can access their physical and inner soul life, I ended the book with a poem that was downloaded while I was sleeping one night. And I think you'll appreciate this. Remember a place high above my earth home, a land of light which reflects the pure bright colors of the rainbow. Remember teachers of divine beauty, love, wisdom, and hear their thoughts, which sound like music, to prepare you into your physical life with the finest preparation to succeed in all you do. Remember the peace and joy, laughter and smiles, the encouragement and love in the glances from their bright, inquisitive eyes. Remember, when you walk on the plains, fields, meadows and roadways of your earth life, who walks beside you and who holds your hand, and always feel loved, protected, and safe, for you are. Remember that before beginning this life, you chose your parents and grandparents, sisters and brothers, and your friends, and they will mirror both the best and worst in your own being. Then you may choose to love them without judgment or blame. Remember, as your heart beats and your feet tap and you dance to music only you might hear from your guide or angel in an eternal place of true love, that you are never alone. Remember you and remember me as one together in unity and love for all time in life and, yes, in death. I want to thank you, Susan Allison, author of Our Spirit's Dance, for sharing a view through poetry of our multidimensional lives, infused with the eternal source of all creation and the unending power of love to heal and to expand our consciousness so we may, if we have forgotten, remember the truth of our spiritual life force and be at peace with the flow of life. To purchase this book, go to...
My website is drsusanallison.com, and also people listening to this show could contact me at drsusanallison@gmail.com. And thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for adding that in. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have shared the possibilities for living in harmony and peace within our own energy or soul system and for developing our highest aspirations for love while learning to appreciate life on both a physical and as spiritual beings. We have discussed the nature of every person's goal to love and be loved and the universal law of attraction, which states that we give out to the world and then that can come back to us in similar ways. Susan wrote, "When I met Tom, I felt so alive and full of energy and purpose. I was writing poetry all night, starting shamanic work and preparing for a vision quest. Then I showed up full of light and love, like a flower opening, and there was Tom, who saw my light and I saw his. We were two lights, two perfectly matched souls who saw our higher selves in each other's eyes. So to meet your soulmate, just keep showing up in ways that make you happy, feel love for yourself and your life, and shine your light. Your soulmate is waiting. Susan and I would remind you, whether you are in a relationship or not, be inspired to open your hearts and minds more fully and love more deeply so you may allow your inner soul development and continued well-being. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen and read about the many avenues that you may travel to discover and manifest your healthiest and most prosperous lives. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.